RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 66 with guest Daniel Narenberg, recorded Thursday, June 26th, 2008. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Yes, this is Run As Radio. You're listening to Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes.
Hey, how you doing?
I am well, sir. And you?
Good. We're back.
And more of the same. Another week. It's actually my birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
Doesn't matter much. You know, once you're past 40, it's all downhill from here anyway.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so how ancient are you now?
just about as ancient as you are, sir. Thank you.
41, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. It only gets better.
That's right. You know, and speaking of getting better, there's a lot of Windows tools that have gotten better over time, and that's what we're talking about this week.
All right, Greg, let's introduce our guest. Daniel Narenberg is an MCT, MCSE, MCITP, and an IT strategy advisor based in Montreal. He is also the president of the Montreal IT Pro User Group at mitpro.ca. Daniel is passionate about technology and the amazing problems that can be solved with its application. Driven by the desire to see cool technology bring people together in global and local communities, he is always driven to learning about the next big thing. Daniel has had the honor of receiving the Microsoft Most Valuable Professional Award for 2007 and 2008. Daniel has written and consulted on topics of Windows deployment, application virtualization, and Windows infrastructure. He also writes regular updates for the Lazy Admin Tech Guidance website at www.thelazyadmin.com.
Ah, yes.
Welcome, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
Hi. Thank you very much.
So we met, of course, I've known you for a while now, actually, but we met at TechEd IT Pro Week. You were in Speaker Idle.
I was, and it was a lot of fun.
It is a gas, isn't it? It's hard work, though. 5-minute session is not an easy thing to do.
That is tough.
No, it's especially for someone like me who just loves to talk.
I recall you did 5 minutes on the values and virtues of a lazy administrator. Is that right?
That's it. So I guess my goal in that was just that I'm opposed to doing work repetitively when there's just an easier way.
Sure.
And Microsoft has done a whole lot of really great things to make lazy administrators' lives possible.
Right.
And, and amazingly, there's a ton of these things that are free, or not free in the sense that, you just go and grab them, but free in the sense that, you know, if you have the infrastructure, you can use these tools to better use that infrastructure.
It's cool.
Sure. A lot of things you can automate now and better ways of automating. But yeah, you're right. If you got somebody that's well trained and spend a lot of time just doing the same mundane thing over and over and over again, you're not necessarily really spending your money very wisely, are you?
Well, and that's it. And so Microsoft has a lot of, they have the Microsoft Operations Framework.
Right.
They have the Microsoft Solution Framework, which is kind of the older big brother of MOF, and then they also have stuff like IOI or Infrastructure Optimization. All these kind of frameworks and things kind of seem markety at first if you're not used to looking at them, but when you dig in, there's just a lot of wealth of information. And then they have a lot of tools that are coming out that are based around those infrastructures, so it's almost like all these frameworks are the theory, and then all these tools are the practical aspects of these frameworks and the implementational section, and really the fun part, because this is where you get to, do really cool things and make very complex processes kind of happen at the snap of a finger. And that's definitely where Windows deployment tools and which used to be called BDD or Business Desktop Deployment comes in.
Right.
So why don't we just dive right into that? I thought our topic was around migrating to 2008. But
absolutely.
The deployment toolkits, these are important parts of making that migration happen?
For sure. So I thought I'd start with a very Cliff Notes history of deployment in Windows.
Sure.
A lot of the deployment knowledge is coming from the desktop deployment tools. So as I mentioned before, BDD, or Business Desktop Deployment, was came out about 4 years ago, I think, and was originally based on a whole bunch of scripts and automation files that plugged in. So some of the scripts were Kickstart, some were VBScript, there was INI files, XML files. It was a loosely bound solution with some pretty decent guidance, and it wasn't really what you'd consider a Microsoft product. There wasn't an MMC console, there wasn't very much there. There were some very basic wizards, there were some disjointed processes to build your images and then to deploy your images. So it wasn't so a clear cut, and it could really be a project to get it going. Then when Vista was released, they came out with BDD 2007. And I think you've talked a bit about that on this show before.
Yeah, Mitch Garvis talked about it last fall.
Absolutely. So basically, that's, you know, wrapping up the best practices that were in that original BDD version. Taking all that knowledge, putting it into a more productized kind of face, I would say. So basically, we dropped all these scripting things and kind of wrapped it into a nice console. It had a nice step-by-step feel to it. You could kind of logically go through it and build up your installation and build up your deployment points and whatnot, and really get, you know, pretty quickly something you could deploy, let's say upgrade an XP to a Vista or refresh a Vista box, or even, you know, manage your XP environment with this particular tool. So the next step, well, of course, with Windows 2008, because Windows 2008 Server and Windows Vista are based on the same installation methodology, so using that WIM image
right.
concept where it lays down the image and then it kicks off some processes to build up the installation. So because of that, we were able to, or Microsoft was able to take what they learned from the BDD, and they've rechristened it Windows Deployment Tools 2008. And so it's designed not only to deploy Vista or XP, but also now to deploy Windows Server 2008. And if need be, I think you can even do 2003 these days.
Wow. So are these remote deployment tools?
Sure. So you can use a bunch of other components. So then the thing about BDD is it's Windows Deployment Tools is that there's still quite an array of technologies being used. But what's pretty incredible is that you can get a lot of distance using and leveraging tools that Microsoft provides for free, downloadable off their website. And I think that's really what excites me, because one of the things that they quickly realized way back in the beginning of this BDD thing was it wasn't just deploying bare metal workstations
right.
or servers even. They wanted to upgrade a server. They wanted to replace a machine. They wanted to refresh the operating system. So they needed tools to kind of help facilitate that process. So you get tools like USMT, or User State Migration Tools, which is one of my favorite tools.
Yeah, and you took the time to shrinksterize these, so we should bring this up. USMT is at shrinkster.com/ZQ6, Zulu Quebec 6. So this is for moving user state data from XP to Vista?
Correct. So XP to Vista. You can also use it to migrate terminal services profiles from 2003 to 2008.
Okay.
So anywhere with
that's
user
cool.
profile, you can use this to migrate. So do you know Windows Easy Transfer? Everyone might have heard of this tool. It's built into Vista. There was an earlier iteration
right.
XP.
Sure.
Right.
So USMT is kind of what I like to call the professional edition of Windows Easy Transfer.
All right. So are you transferring between machines here?
Sure. You can actually, that's the nice thing is you can create a user state, backup on for the same machine. So if let's say you're doing what they call a replace or a refresh,
right?
And a refresh mm-hmm. is not upgrading the OS. What you're doing is you're taking a backup of the user state, you're wiping out the OS, you're layering right. on a new installation, you're putting the applications back on fresh, and then you're layering that user state back on top of that.
Oh, that's very cool. And then along the way, right. so you may be going from XP to Vista at the same time, but rather than actually doing an upgrade, you back up that state information, blow the machine clean, install Vista, set up all the apps, then load the user state back on.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and even if you're just doing, you know, to address some environments where maybe Vista is still, let's say, a few months out or even a year out before they're going to go into a deployment, if you want to, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how your XP machine, you know, in some cases could get bogged down
sure.
for whatever reason. Well, that's another great use for USMT because you can, you know, incorporate that into your overall deployment process and refresh the box for the brand new, fresh, spanking clean installation of
it. So not even changing the OS, just trying to clean, get it the cruft out of the machine, get it up and speedy again. You can
exactly.
do the same thing.
One of my favorite stories about USMT was that we were doing a Windows XP deployment. This is back before Vista was released. And we had a customer who had about 300 desktops. Wanted to kind of get a hold of things because they were just growing and growing and growing, and they foresaw getting up to 1,000 quite easily. And so that was one office, and they were doing this kind of pilot, can we get things under control? And just to give you an idea of how out of control things were, they had two Active Directory domains and one Novell NDS domain.
Oh, man. On how many workstations?
That, pardon?
And how many workstations?
But 300 workstations.
Holy cow, that's out of control.
Yeah. So on top of that, a large number of the Novell connected clients were configured as work groups, and the Windows logon account was actually just the asset tag number that was assigned to a local user account, and then they would log in with another user account to the Novell directory.
Wow.
So they kind of, you know, we were in a meeting and they're talking about, you know, they had two projects on the table. One was migrate us to XP because they're all in 2000 NT4 still. And the other project was save us from ourselves. We want to get rid of this Novell stuff. We want to get one Active Directory network and we want to start over from scratch. So with USMT, it became clear that we could actually achieve all those goals in a single project. And we merged those two projects. And what we were able to do with USMT was modify the deployment process just a little bit so that we kind of specified the username of the new account or the destination account in the new domain. And it would go and it would scoop up the profile, whether it was a number, whether it was the Novell name, whether it was an account in one of the two old Active Directories.
Right.
It would rename those and pull up the machine. And when the new machine was pulled up, we had all the account documents and all the old information in the new account name. They logged in with one account, and they logged in against the new Active Directory. On top of that, they were using Lotus Domino and Lotus Notes. And with USMT, you can configure predefined templates that will go and capture the Domino information out of the registry. So we're able to migrate their Lotus Notes clients as well.
Awesome. Well, I really like the fact that you could tinker with this so that you can go in and grab additional information that it turns out is actually, you know, user state data. It's just not necessarily an app that you own.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, one of the things that you're going to have to do once you start looking at USMT is to check out the CAHM file because so that's the help file that is included. A little note, a little caveat, it's not yet running on a Windows 2008 server. So if you try to install it, you will get some friction, you'll get some error messages. And if you try to run the migration tools, it's not quite working yet.
Oh, okay.
However,
I noticed in the release notes, yeah.
You can run it on 2003. So you will need that in your environment in order to run the tools. It'll run on an XP box and an Avista box.
Right. But what a great solution for mass migrations like that.
Exactly. And the beautiful thing about it is that you can go and download this today and leverage those tools right now today. So if you're kind of wondering, you know, I have maybe, you know, a bunch of laptops which are about to become managed boxes, and how do I get that user state off there because that's the one thing all my users are screaming for, you can, you know, take USMT and go and do that without having to think about any of the other deployment tools.
When you say user state, for people that haven't looked at this tool yet or actually haven't done this, maybe they're doing it all by hand, what all is included in quote-unquote user state?
Great question, because user state is, you know, you can say, you know, the documents and settings folder / the username. It can be all the user state accounts on a particular machine. You can literally specify to USNT, you want to go and scoop up all that data, move that over to another machine. You can specify a single account. You can specify you want all the domain accounts, all the local accounts. There's a lot of granularity and a lot of play that you have with the tool. It also includes a lot of application data, and it provides an opportunity for you to modify the built-in application templates. So there's a bunch of XML files that are included with USMT
right.
that allow you to specify or customize the user state capture to the applications that you also, the application user information you want to capture. So for instance, if you're using an application that doesn't follow code, you know, Microsoft standards, so it doesn't put the user data or the user configuration information into the user's profile. It puts, you know, C program name or C program files, program data or something like that.
Sure.
So what you can do is you can actually customize USMT to go and pick that file up or to go and capture registry keys even out of the registry that specifically configure that application uses. Now, you have to remember, when you reapply that profile, you usually want the application to be installed.
Right.
And that's where you're going
to
have
there ahead of time,
some legwork
sure.
to do, because you have to kind of get the order right, you know, when you take that application away and when you paste it back down onto the new box, or, you know, when you reinstall it on the old box. You have to make sure that, you know, the order that you put the user data down and then the application down works and fits. And usually it's the application first, then the customized data.
And I could see doing this a few times in the lab to try and get it right, but ultimately it'll save you a ton of time in the 100, 200, 500 workstations you've got to roll it out to.
Absolutely. And it's a sweet spot too. And it's funny you mentioned, because, you know, there are tools, there are, you know, Microsoft release, like Configuration Manager, that are designed to help with this as well, except that there's been a kind of a gray area or a tough spot where it's, you know, the value of those tools is hard to justify at that 200-300, you know, desktop or server deployment level.
Right.
And these tools have come in and really, you know, filled a bit of a gap because they provide enough automation so that, you know, you can still keep a relatively small team to manage a quite large environment.
Right.
It does seem that a lot, there are a class of tools out there that are really aimed at the 1,000-plus seat mark and are just clumsy and overkill for the 200 mark.
Well, that's it, because the time that you would have to invest to get that tool working just right for 500 computers is not really that great a return.
Right.
But when you're talking right. 50,000, well, you can set up a team and you can have that team trained and you can bring in the consultants. And,
sure.
You know, you can spend the money, bring that tool up, and then push out your you know, migration pieces. So going back to the Windows deployment tools, there are three different ways you can deploy it, and it might give some context to our previous discussion around USMT. So there's the light touch, which means that you still kind of have to go to the computer and press F12 to get it to do a network boot and download that information.
Right.
And then there's what they call zero touch, and that's when you start integrating those higher-end applications where you're basically able to do it without going to the computer. And then you have the holy grail of deployment, which they call zero touch with provisioning. And that's basically where the user is able to kind of log on to a website and say, well, I want my computer refreshed for Monday morning, and he kind of clicks that, schedules that for Friday at 5 o'clock, and Friday at 5 o'clock, he gets up out of his desk, leaves his computer on, which automatically downloads a new image and goes through the whole process without anyone really caring. And maybe at most the manager will have authenticated that or will have approved that
right.
Reinstall.
So then it's just a workflow request and that's it. Yeah, that does seem a little holy grail-ish, but I see where you're going with that. And I guess when we're talking, and remember talking about the Windows deployment tools, and that's at shrinkster.com/ZQ8, so Zulu Quebec 8. And when you actually go there, it says Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, so let's not get too confused.
That's right.
If I'm thinking in the context of a, you know, typical server farm, I'd probably be pretty comfortable with that light touch configuration. I'm going to go to half a dozen or a dozen servers that I'm upgraded to 2008. That seems acceptable to me.
And don't forget that, you know, there's even ways to go and get even that zero touch where, you know, you get your server and you'll get the information about the server. So you can pre-populate, for instance, an Active Directory with the BIOS GUIDs or GUID, so it's like kind of a unique identifier for that computer in your Active Directory. And then when that computer boots up, well, it won't have an operating system, so
right.
it will default to the, you know, network boot procedure with Windows Deployment Server. And when it gets that, it basically grab that image and deploy it right down bare metal, and, you know, you won't have to do much more than just turn the machine on. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's, of course, the challenge here is just trying to coordinate all these different products. I mean, you talked about Windows Deployment Server. This is the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. There's also yeah. System Center Configuration Manager.
The Automated Installation Kit.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different stuff.
Let's not forget about SMS. Like, it's, I think it's a struggle just to figure out where all these products fit into the equation.
Yeah. It's tough for someone who's, you know, looking at this for the first time, you know, and I've talked to a lot of those administrators who are, you know, the kind of the firefighter types who say, you know, you're talking about stuff that I would just love to do, but I'm so busy with my life as an administrator, I just don't know where to begin.
Right.
And I think that, you know, though they feel overwhelmed, they feel like there's just so much out there. I would suggest as a path to start with downloading the Microsoft deployment tools. I kind of missaid that before calling it the Windows Deployment Tools, and of course that gets a little bit confusing because you have Windows Deployment Services, which is the piece that is responsible for pushing out images over the network. So Microsoft Deployment Tools 2008, it's a small download, but from there you can actually go out and get USMT, you can go out and get the Application Compatibility Toolkit, which was the other tool that I just really quickly want to touch on if we have a bit more time.
Sure.
And it'll also provide a lot of documentation on kind of what are the steps to go and get, not necessarily the holy grail, but at least about 75% of the way there.
So it sounds to me like the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit is the hub of this. Start here, and that'll lead you to USMT and to ACT as well.
That's what I would say as well. That's a very fair statement. And
cool.
I think that the Application Compatibility Toolkit, so that was the other thing about, you know, pushing out, and this speaks specifically to moving from, let's say, XP to Vista.
Right.
One of the reasons I like this particular tool is that it allows you to kind of get an inventory for free, I call it. You basically can, you know, create a little package to scan for specific things. So not only can you scan for the applications that are installed on your workstations that are out there, but you can also scan for the web pages and web applications that people are using, and check whether or not those applications will have problems in IE with restricted mode. You know, interesting stuff about that is once you bring that all down to the database, because basically how it works is you design this profile, you push out that application using an installation software, so you can manually go and install it on workstations, or you can push it out with group policy, or you can use a logon script to push that out. And once that's installed, it runs for X number of days, and you define that in the App Compatibility Toolkit, and then it brings back that information to the central database. And it's a very simple way, it works extremely simply. It just pushes the files to a share, and then the server that's running the App Compatibility Toolkit scoops up those files, processes them into the database, and after about 3 or 4 days, you can get a pretty fair look at what's going on in your network.
Okay, just let me see if I get this. Okay, so I'm using the Application Compatibility Toolkit. That's at shrinkster.com/ZQ9, Zulu Quebec 9. So I install this on my workstations, either via group policy or manual install, doesn't matter. And it actually watches my users using their machines and to figure out what apps they're using?
Correct.
Well, that's really cool. So you get a real inventory, not what's installed on the machine, but what actually got used over some time period.
Right. You get both. So it'll pull down what's on there anyway, but it'll also pull down, you know, a good listing of what's being used. And that's how it can, you know, that's one of the ways that it detects. It also looks how that application is using the system.
Right.
So it can watch a custom app execute and go and play an HKEY local machine, which is a big no-no when you get to Vista.
Right.
And it will kind of say, okay, well, you might have to do something to resolve the issue with this application.
What a great way to figure the problems out ahead of time is actually see, it's not that I know what this app is and what version it is, but this is what the app did. And that's why it's going to cause problems.
And then you can further go out and pull down collective information that Microsoft allows people to contribute to to go and find what they call shims to go and fix those application issues. And amazingly, this little piece of software is essentially free. Another great tool that I find really hits that sweet spot of between a, getting past 50 computers up to, 500-600 computers. And this is a kind of tool that can really save a lot of time and help you be, as you mentioned before, a lazy admin, because who wants to walk around to every computer and inventory them manually?
Well, and you, even if you did do that, you are not going to get the kind of profile information that this tool is going to gather over a span of a week. I mean, how much overhead does ACT actually put on the machine then? Does the customer or does the user really feel that that app is running?
So it really depends on the machine that it's running on.
Right.
Right. You see that mileage may vary kind of, saying, because some machines it'll be very transparent. Other machines, they might actually, if you say deploy it with a group policy, might come up and install it, which brings up a really good point, is that if you're going to use this tool, I highly recommend a very strong communication plan to your users. Because as you mentioned, you're not just looking at the applications that are installed, which can kind of raise the fur on people's necks sometimes in some situations, but you're also looking at the applications they use and the websites they go to.
Right.
And so people, like to be aware of these type of things, even if they have no reason to be aware. It helps things kind of move forward. And
you're now going to know how much time they spend on Facebook.
Exactly. And whether or not Facebook will work on Vista. But, which, of course, I think it does. But,
yeah, I'm betting it will.
Again, it's just a question of making sure your users are aware of what's going on, because a lot of the I have seen situations where this tool has been deployed kind of indiscriminately because they were trialing it, and the only way they could really feel they had a way of trialing it or testing it out was to push it onto an unsuspecting group of users. And, of course, they all came in Monday morning, and I think they named the package, because you can kind of custom name these little packages you create to go and collect this data.
Right.
And they called it something like looking at website information that people are browsing or something, .msi.
Nice.
And, of course, everyone saw this on their computers in their logon process, installing, looking at what you're browsing, .msi, and people naturally got a little bit uptight and kind of freaked out.
Yeah, well, this is right on the edge of spying on your users.
Absolutely. I mean, and it comes down to, you might not be allowed to run this application in some instances.
Sure.
And it's definitely an important aspect of any kind of deployment project, is to understand how the tools you're going to use to make your life easier are going to impact the people in the, in the computing environment that you're migrating or you're affecting.
Yeah, you don't want to create an HR nightmare over you just trying to figure out how to migrate to Vista safely.
Exactly. And it's the same thing that goes for user state migration tools. You have to watch out, some of the areas you have to watch out for are encrypted files. A lot of the time that user state migration tool is not going to run in the instance of the user that you're migrating. So if that person's gone and encrypted some files on their hard drive that they haven't told you about, it's possible they could get left behind, or, you have to create little error states for your migration.
Sure.
To say, I'm going to stop now because I just hit some encrypted files.
Yeah, I got to wonder if I was doing that whole user state migration or the whole concept of a refresh of the machine or an upgrade to the machine, to just snap an image of the current state of the machine that I can always revert to. Given that I have scads of disk space sitting around to store all these images.
Sure, and there's actually some planning in there about that, and it's basically, yeah, you have to have enough space to store a complete image of your PC if you want to do that.
Right.
And now with ImageX, it used to be that you did it with a ghost. So you ghosted the box before you did any real action to it.
Right.
Up to the server. And in a lot of cases, my customers would keep that for upwards of 6 months.
Yeah.
And then every time that they were missing a file or something, they had a few emergencies where they really needed that old image back, they were able to layer it down onto one of their test boxes and give it to the person for a day, or even just go with, a browsing tool and pull that file out of the image.
Yeah.
So now that's all built in with Windows, with Microsoft deployment tools, so that it's going to copy the PC image as a WIM image. So even better, you can mount it now to their computer if you need be, or you can mount it to your own administrative console and browse through their files, grab that file, and send it out to them.
It just becomes a drive letter on the machine. It's a very compelling model, given you have the disk space, because these things are big.
Right.
It's very compelling.
Yes. We blew out a few network attached devices, storage devices, doing a migration of 300 boxes before, where we were backing up everyone. And I mean, they had about five of those, you know, built in a pizza box type appliances with 2 terabytes each. And it'd be pretty impressive how fast you can blow through a terabyte of data.
All these tools have really grown up. The usability has really improved, and back to your original point about, you know, a lazy administrator, or maybe if you think about it as a lazy administrator that can be, or an administrator that can be lazy, or that, you know, is sitting around just watching and things are running smoothly, that's really what you're looking for. These tools have really changed and grown over time to help support that.
Absolutely, and it's a great point you bring up about the lazy administrator. It's something that I always like to address, and say that a lazy administrator isn't someone who isn't going to address an issue if it comes up, isn't going to fight a fire if one happens.
Right.
It's just by nature, you don't want to do that. And the way you accomplish that is to use the best practices, use the tools that are available, and, you know, implement them in a as effective a way as possible to accomplish and to kind of reap the most benefits, which should be that you're watching a finely tuned machine and you can kind of put your feet up on the desk and enjoy that. You know, that sense of accomplishment and work on the next challenge, which is going to be, you know, doing X or automating Y or whatever.
Yeah, it's the proactive approach. It's kind of the do I want to be proactive and prevent problems, or do I want to be fighting fires and responding to them all the time? So I think it's a very good point and something that IT people should be thinking about every day.
Daniel, we're at the end of a half hour, if you can believe it. So I think we've just sort of outlined the sort of spread of tools that folks need to look at if they're going to make these migrations. Any final words?
It's been an absolute pleasure talking with both of you guys. I think just to speak back, you know, we did kind of jump around a bit. We covered a lot of different tools. We talked a lot of interesting things. Small bites. Don't get overwhelmed. There's so much that I haven't seen and I haven't looked at in a lot of areas around deployment and around managing and monitoring deployment. And the only way that I get through it every day is, you know, I take a small bite for today and I go through and I learn something new. And, you know, looking at this, the Windows, Microsoft deployment tools, looking at, USMT and application compatibility toolkit, just take small bites, you know, download one tool, learn it, find a use for it, test it out in your lab environment. And as you move forward, you'll kind of get comfortable and it just becomes another tool in your tool belt.
Absolutely.
And for more information or to read even more about what Daniel's talking about, don't forget about thelazyadmin.com, which really is a great site, Daniel. You got some good stuff there.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, guys.
Daniel Nirenberg, thanks so much for coming on the show. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.